This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. I got another hour of old-time radio detectives for you today, beginning with Mr. and Mrs. North. We'll hear their story from December 15th, 1953, titled Too Late to Die. After that, it's the adventures of Sam Spade and Sam and Psyche, his story from August 2nd, 1946.
Listen to me. Put down that gun.
Jerry, be careful.
I'm telling you for the last time, North. Get out of the way.
Clark, in the name of heaven, will you...
Mr. and Mrs. North, starring Richard Denning and Barbara Britton. Listen as Pam and Jerry solve the mystery, Too Late to Die. A man sits at a microphone in a radio studio in Midtown Manhattan. His name is Clint Conroy, and his voice is being heard in thousands of homes throughout New York. In the apartment of Mr. and Mrs. North.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to wind up tonight's broadcast with another open letter to Wally Clark. I hope you're listening, Wally, wherever you are. I hope you're listening hard.
And in the Fifth Avenue penthouse of one Victor Bailey.
Dave Largo's in town, Wally. You know Largo, and you know why Vic Bailey and the syndicate brought him in from Chicago. That's how badly Vic Bailey wants you, Wally. He's brought in the number one gun of the syndicate to get you, to find you, Wally, and to kill you.
And in a cheap hotel in Chelsea Square.
You can't go on hiding forever, Wally. If Vic Bailey and Dave Largo don't get you, the police will. So listen to me, Wally. Give yourself up. Go to the district attorney. Tell him all you know about Bailey's financial setup. Give him the records you took from Bailey's office. Listen, Wally.
Shut up.
The district attorney will protect you. Play it smart, Wally. Get Vic Bailey before he gets...
Shut up! That guy, why can't he leave me alone? Why does he have to keep after me? Every night for a month, all he's done is... Oh, sorry, Nora. I shouldn't have blown my top like that.
No. When you shouldn't drink anymore, please, Wally.
Oh, okay. Cigarette?
On the dresser. Wally, Clint Conroy's trying to help you.
Help me?
Well, he is. And, darling, he's right. We can't go on hiding forever, living like this. Me in this room and you sneaking around town like a hunted animal. Living Lord knows where. Oh, Wally, do you realize that tonight's the first time I've seen you in a week?
I know.
Well, what kind of a life is
Look,
it when...
Look, I couldn't come around because...
Because why?
Look, honey, I don't want to frighten you, but you're going to have to move out of here.
Why, Wally?
Well, I think the dame on the switchboard, a little blonde...
The one they call Gladys?
Yeah. I got a hunch she recognizes me. In the picture in the paper the other day.
Oh, Wally.
I'm not sure. I may be wrong, but...
Did she see you come in tonight?
No, she isn't working tonight. Nora, I have rented a room in a rooming house for you. Up on 81st Street. Now we'll go...
Wally, I can't stand it any longer. You've got to go to the district attorney. Give him Vic Bailey's records and tell him everything you can.
Then go order a coffin?
The police would protect you.
For how long? The rest of my life? They'd have to, because sooner or later Bailey'd get me. It might be a month or a year or 5 years, but he'd get me.
He'd be in prison.
Prisons don't stop guys like Bailey, Nora. Honey, can't you understand? Bailey isn't just one man. He's hundreds of men. Yeah, thousands of them. He's the syndicate. The syndicate. And even if I sent Bailey to prison, it'd get me because there are too many guys like me. Guys who talk. And the syndicate would have to make an example of me.
Well, then send his books and records back to him and...
That wouldn't do any good. It isn't just his books he's worried about. It's the guy who kept them. When the grand jury hung that subpoena on me, it was my death warrant as far as Bailey was concerned. Oh, Nora, honey, listen. We won't go on like this much longer. If I can just scrape together some money, we'll
what? Go somewhere else and hide? And what happens when the baby comes?
Baby?
Yes, baby.
Nora,
I'm going to have a baby.
Oh, why didn't you tell me?
You've had other things on your mind.
But, Nora, I...
Don't, Wally, please. Please don't. Leave me alone. I'm through.
Nora.
With you and with living like this. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I do know this much. Our baby isn't going to be born behind closed shades in some hall bedroom with you there. You with your gun and your fear and... Get out, Wally.
Nora.
Get out right now and don't come back.
Here's the elevator, Pam.
I hope Prince had time to get home from his broadcast.
He said he'd be here at 7, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
Well, he'll probably be here then.
You know, it's funny.
Hmm? What's funny?
About Clint Conroy wanting you to publish a collection of his columns and broadcasts.
Well, what's funny about that?
I don't know. You'd think a man with a radio broadcast 5 nights a week, a television program, a gossip column in newspapers all over the country wouldn't care about a book that'd sell only a few thousand copies.
It'll sell more than a few thousand.
Well, I hope so.
I know so. Look, Clint Conroy's a big name and... Oh, here we are. I'll get the bell. And if his book isn't a bestseller, I'll certainly miss my guess.
Pam! Jerry!
Hello, Clint.
Come in. Here, let me take your coat, Pam.
Thank you.
I'll just throw mine here, Clint.
Okay. Come on in the living room, huh? Now stir up some Manhattans. Okay?
Oh, fine.
We heard your broadcast tonight, Clint.
Mm-hmm. And you're certainly giving this Wally Clark a ride. What's the story there?
Story on Clark?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a young guy, a bookkeeper. Fairly legitimate. Worked for a small outfit called Mammoth Enterprises Incorporated. Dummy outfit that Victor Bailey set up to cover his personal take from the rackets. Here you are, Pam.
Thank you.
Jerry?
Thanks.
Well, about a month ago, the district attorney slapped a subpoena on Clark, ordering him to appear before the grand jury with Bailey's records. Clark took a powder. Rumor has it Bailey figured Clark would melt and run down in his shoes when he went before the grand jury, so we ordered him eliminated.
Killed?
Dead. But Clark was a jump ahead of Bailey. He and his wife disappeared. Let's forget about this and have another, huh? Oh, excuse me. Hello?
Clint Conroy?
Yeah?
Wally Clark.
Clark.
Listen, Conroy, I want to...
Hold it. Okay, Clark.
Look, I got a proposition for you, Conroy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to give myself up to you.
Go on.
I'll tell you everything I know about Bailey. Let you take a look at the books I have, the works.
What about the district attorney?
I'll talk to him any time you say, after I get $5,000.
$5,000?
Cash. Story, I can give you his word twice that much.
I'll have to think it over.
Okay, take an hour.
Where can I call you?
You can't.
But
I'll
call
you.
Clark.
In 1 hour.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell him.
Well?
Bert Noonan.
Well?
Says Clark stayed in a flop joint in Canal Street last Saturday night.
And?
Left a dirty shirt and hasn't been back since. You're belting that bottle pretty hard, Vic.
Why don't you mind your own business, Largo?
You're getting the jumps, Vic.
You shut up.
Drinking, smashing glasses in the fireplace, yelling.
Shut up, Largo. I brought you here to do a job, not to... I'll answer it.
Sure.
Hi. I'm Gladys Myers.
So?
Is Mr. Bailey in?
Who is it, Dave?
Something wearing a skirt. What do you want, lady?
I want to see Mr. Bailey.
What about?
Wally Clark.
Wally Clark? Come in.
Thanks.
In here.
Thanks. Hi.
What does she want?
She mentioned Wally Clark.
Who is she?
Oh, my name's Gladys. Gladys Myers.
What about Wally Clark?
Well, you're looking for him, ain't you?
And what if he is?
Well, I can tell you where you can find him. Hmm. At least where you can find his wife.
Where? Well?
Well, worth anything to you?
Maybe. Talk.
Say maybe $500?
Talk.
Well, is it or ain't it?
Tell me what you know and I'll see. Who are you?
Well, if I tell you that, you'll know where Mrs. Clark is.
So? Who are you?
Oh, $500 ain't nothing to a man like you, Mr. Bailey.
What's stolen?
When I see some money.
Listen, you stupid little tramp. If you know something, you spill it. Now, talk!
Take it easy, Vic.
I'll handle this. No, you little...
Let go of me! You've got no right to... Ow!
Now, where's Clark's wife? Talk! You hear me? Now, talk!
All right! You're right. Pontiac Hotel. Chelsea Square.
Okay. Now, you heard her, Largo.
Yeah.
I'll get going.
What about her?
Give her $10 and throw her out of here. I hate stool pigeons.
And don't you think one section of your book should include the columns and broadcast you did from Korea, Clint? Hey, Clint.
Hmm? Oh, I'm sorry, Jerry.
Is something wrong, Clint?
Wrong.
Well, you keep looking at your watch as though it were a time bomb that was going to explode any minute.
Well, in a way it is.
What do you mean?
Well, look, I need some help. You remember the phone call I got just after you two arrived?
Yeah. What about it?
It was Wally Clark.
Wally Clark?
You mean that...
Yeah. He's willing to give himself up.
Oh, golly.
To me.
You? Well, why not the district attorney?
Because the district attorney won't pay him $5,000.
$5,000? Mm-hmm. For what?
For his story. For the first look at Vic Bailey's books. After that, he'll go to the DA.
What did you tell him?
I stalled. But I'm going to go for the deal. An exclusive on the story Clark can tell is worth $5,000. But look, I need your help.
How?
Ever since I started this campaign to have Clark give himself up, Vic Bailey's had me followed. Now, Clark will be calling back any minute. He'll tell me where to meet him. Maybe I could shake whoever's been following me. Maybe not. So, I want you two to meet him for me and take him to your place. How about it?
I don't like it.
Well, I think it'd be safe, Jerry.
Well, safe enough, maybe, but... Well, the first person Clark should talk to is the district attorney.
But he won't talk to the DA first, Jerry. He wants money. And if he doesn't sell his story to me, he'll sell it to some other newsman.
That's right, Jerry.
That's Clark. Jerry?
Oh, Clint, I...
Look, if I... call this friend of yours on the force, this,
Bill Wagon?
Yeah. If I have him at your apartment while I talk to Clark, would you help me out then?
Darling, let's do it.
Jerry, I've got to answer that phone.
Okay, Clint. Answer it. We'll meet Clark.
Is the next one, Jerry.
Yeah.
Oh, look. That must be the shed where we were told to park.
You wait here. Keep the motor running.
All right, darling. Oh, but be careful.
Yeah.
North?
Yes?
No, don't turn around.
Don't move. I don't have a gun, Clark.
Okay. Who's that in your car?
My wife. Clint Conroy told you she'd be with me.
I'm just checking. All right, let's go. I'll ride him back.
You drive, Pam.
All right.
Turn the car around, Mrs. North, and go back uptown.
Uptown?
Our place is down in the village.
We're making a stop before we go to your place.
A stop? Where?
In Chelsea Square. Pontiac Hotel to pick up my wife. All right, this way.
What's your wife got to do with this, Clark?
Everything.
What does that mean?
Here.
doing this for her. She gets the money and protection from Vic Bailey, or there's no deal. Nora. Nora!
She isn't here.
She must be. Nora!
Well, the door's unlocked.
Nora! Nora, where are you?
She isn't here.
And look at this room. It looks as if there's been a
Bailey.
Fire. What?
Vic Bailey's got her.
What would he want with your wife?
He's going to use her to smoke me out.
In that case, this has gone far enough. I was a fool to listen to Clint Conroy in the first place.
Hey, who are you calling?
The police.
Put that telephone down.
Jerry.
Now, just a minute.
Put it down, or I'll use this gun on you. I mean it.
Do as he says, Jerry.
Okay.
Now, get over there. Don't move, either of you.
Who are you calling?
Vic Bailey.
Hello.
Hello, Bailey.
Well, well. Wally.
Yeah.
I had a feeling I'd be hearing from you.
Okay, Bailey, let's cut the talk. You win. Where's Nora?
Where are you?
I'll meet you anywhere you say.
And my books, Wally. Where are they?
You'll get them, Bailey, after you've let Nora go. But if you've hurt her, I swear to heaven...
Relax, Wally.
Where shall I meet you?
You know my place in Scarsdale?
Yeah.
Be there in an hour, Wally.
Okay.
You're a fool, Clark. You should have let us call the police.
If Victor Bailey's holding your wife in his house here in Scarsdale, the police...
He didn't say Nora was there.
Well, then how do you know she's all right? You can't trust a man like Bailey.
I don't. That's why you two are along. You're going to keep Bailey honest.
What do you mean?
Turn here, Nora. Keep going, but turn off your lights. I'll tell you how you're going to keep Bailey honest. You're going into the house first, North. You're going to make sure there's no one there except Bailey and Nora.
And if there is?
Now pull up here under that tree. If there is, they get out. They leave by the front door so I can see them go. Then I go in with the records and you bring Nora out.
What about you?
I'll stay there with Bailey until I know Nora's safe. Then Bailey can have his books and I'll leave.
Oh, listen to me, Clark. Let me call the police. Bailey wants you almost as badly as he does those records of his.
I know that.
So how do you know some of his gunmen won't be waiting for you outside when you try to leave?
I don't.
They'll kill you.
That's my worry. Now get going, North.
Oh, Clark.
Get going. And North.
Well?
Don't try any tricks to get the police here. I'm protecting my wife. You protect yours.
All right, Bailey. Now, where's Mrs. Clark?
In here. Resting. There.
What's the matter with her?
Not a thing.
I smell chloroform.
Do you?
She's been chloroformed, hasn't she?
Has she?
Come on.
Well, you've looked over the whole house, North, except for a broom closet or two. Are you satisfied?
No. But Wally Clark will be when your friends leave.
Okay, Largo. Smiley. Blow.
What a sap you're letting Clark play you for.
Beat it. I know what I'm doing.
Look, how do you know the cops ain't waiting outside?
Beat it.
Okay, sucker. Come on, Smiley.
All right.
All right, North, get Wally Clark in here.
Raise the shade on the front window.
Sure.
I'm going in and try to wake Mrs. Clark.
Just one thing, North. You're probably figuring on going to the police after you get Mrs. Clark out of here.
That's right.
Won't do you any good.
Kidnapping is a pretty serious offense, Bailey.
Kidnapping? Who's been kidnapped? Mrs. Clark? She isn't going to complain.
We'll see.
Yeah, sure, North. Okay, we will see. We'll... Ah, hello, Wally.
Get inside, Miss North.
Jerry, where's my husband?
And getting Mrs. Clark. You don't need the gun, Wally. All I want's my records.
I'll put them on this table when Mr. and Mrs. North get Nora out of here.
Mr. Clark, don't give him those books.
Shut up.
You don't have to. You've got the gun. We could take the books and your
Shut
wife.
Up.
And...
Maybe you ought to listen to her, Wally, in a way she's making sense.
Oh, sure, sure. We all walk out of here and let Dave Largo and Smiley chop us down.
You
huh?
saw Dave and Smiley drive away, didn't you?
They drove away, and they could have driven right back. Oh, no, Bailey, I'm not being suckered like that. I stay here with this gun on you till I know Nora's safe. North!
Yeah?
Hurry it up. Come on.
I'm coming.
Jerry, where's Mrs. Clark?
Still in the bedroom.
Well, get her out here.
It's no use.
No use?
Why not?
You were right, Bailey. Mrs. Clark isn't going to complain. She can't. She's dead.
Dead?
Oh, no.
Nora.
Sorry, Clark.
Nora.
Don't go in there, Clark.
How did she die?
Bailey's friends must have used too much chloroform.
You're crazy, North.
Am I?
She isn't dead. She can't be.
Go see for yourself.
I will.
Stay where you are, Vic.
Look out.
Stay right where you are.
No, no, no. Just a minute, Wally.
Take it easy.
I'm going to kill you, Vic.
No.
Don't be a fool.
Jerry, watch out.
If you want to kill Bailey, you're going to have to shoot me first.
Get away from him, Mr. North.
Jerry, darling,
get away
don't.
From him. You played it square with me. I don't want to hurt you.
All right, then give me that gun.
No, I warned Bailey.
Listen to
if
me,
he hurt Nora, I...
Listen.
Look, Wally, give me a break, will you? I didn't hurt her. It was Largo. It's Largo's fault.
Be quiet, right? Bailey. Look, Clark. All you'll get out of killing Bailey will be the electric chair.
And the pleasure of watching him die.
Listen, now, put down that gun. Let me call the police. Let Bailey be the one to go to the chair.
I'm telling you for the last time, North, get out of the way.
Clark, in the name of...
Ow!
What?
Gunshot!
Came from outside.
Yeah, Wally. And look.
What?
At this. Oh. All right, get his gun, Pam. Get it.
I've got it.
Give it to me.
Here.
Now, get over there and sit down, Bailey. Hurry up. Move.
All right, all right.
All right, turn off the lights, Pam.
Okay, Donahue. Donahue, bring him over here.
Jerry, that sounds like... Jerry, it is.
Bill Wigand.
Come on. Look.
A police car.
Bill.
Pam, Jerry, are you all right?
Yeah. Where the devil did you come from?
What was all that shooting out there?
Now, one question at a time. Let's get inside. Clint Conroy and Sergeant Donahue and I followed you from the Pontiac Hotel.
Oh, Clint's here, too?
Yeah. Well, hello, Bailey.
Who are you?
Lieutenant Wigand, homicide.
Oh, there's Wally Clark, Bill.
Well, what happened to him?
Well, I slugged him to get his gun away from him.
What was that shooting about, Bill?
We saw a couple of Bailey's men moving in on the house, Dave Largo and another guy, and they tried to make a break for it when we stopped them.
But how did you get here? How did you know we were at the Pontiac Hotel?
A woman named Gladys Myers, the switchboard operator at the Pontiac, called Conroy and told him Mrs. Clark was there, and we'd better get her before Vic Bailey did. Well, we got there just as you and Pam drove off in your car with Clark, and we followed you. We waited outside until we saw Largo, and then we...
Wow. Who's that?
Oh, Mrs. Clark. Come on.
Mrs. Clark?
Yeah.
But you said she was dead.
What?
He did, Bill.
Well, here she is.
Oh, Wally.
Jerry North, why did you say she was dead?
Well, I figured it was the only way to keep Wally Clark from turning those books and records over to Vic Bailey.
But what if those shots from outside hadn't distracted Wally Clark so you could get his revolver away from him? What would you have done?
Well, I would have,
Well?
Come to think of it... What would I have done? Hello? Hello, Miss Pennington?
Yeah, Mr. North.
Look, Miss Pennington, I won't be into work today.
No, no, I'm going to stay home and do nothing but relax.
My appointments? Well, cancel them. Oh, and I don't want to take any calls here at home, understand? I'm going to do absolutely nothing but relax.
Jerry?
Yes, dear?
Who are you talking to on the telephone?
The office. I called Miss Pennington and told her that I was going to...
Oh, I'll answer it. Hello? Oh, hello, Sylvia. What? Today? Oh, I'd love to, Sylvia, but I simply couldn't. I have a million things to do today. Jerry and I are having a dinner party tonight, and I have to go to the butcher, the grocer, the florist, cook, clean house from top to bottom, and... What? Don't I have anyone to help? Gollies, I wish I did, but I haven't. All right, Sylvia, some other time. Goodbye. Sylvia Blaine wanted me to have lunch with her. I'm sorry, dear. What were you saying?
Saying?
Oh, you started to say you called the office to tell Miss Pennington that you were going to something.
Going to, yeah. I called to say I was going to, be a few minutes late getting to work, but that I'd be there. That I'd very definitely be there.
Jerry are sure to have more exciting adventures next week. Listen in, won't you? There's always mystery well sprinkled with humor on Mr. and Mrs. North. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
Amazing Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective, brought to you by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair.
Sam Spade, Detective Agency.
It's me, Effie.
Oh, Sam, I've been worried about you. Sid Weiss was just on the phone, and he says digging up a corpse without a permit is against the law.
It's all right, Effie. I just dug him up to say hello and put him back again.
Oh, Sam.
I'll be down in a couple of minutes to dictate my report, sweetheart. If I get lost on the way, you'll find me in City Hospital, the psycho ward, third straitjacket from the left.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with The Adventures of Sam Spade. Presented each week by Wild Root Cream Oil, the non-alcoholic hair tonic that will put your hair back in place again, grooming it neatly, naturally, the way you want it. Fellas, if a girl can spend half an hour under a hot dryer in a beauty parlor to look her best for you, certainly you can spend half a minute sprucing up with Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic to look your best for her. That's all it takes, and Wild Root Cream Oil grooms your hair neatly and naturally, the way girls like to see it. Besides, it relieves dryness and removes loose dandruff. There's not a drop of alcohol in Wild Root Cream Oil. It contains lanolin. So get the big economy-size bottle at your drug or toilet goods counter. And now, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Date, August 2nd, 1946. To Mrs. Gregory Denov. Subject, Death of Dr. Denov. I was sitting in my office with nothing to think about except a horse named Corkscrew Jr. My secretary, Effie Perrine, came in and said there was someone outside. I didn't look up from the dope sheet, so she said it again.
Someone outside, Sam.
What's he look like?
Blue double-breasted custom-made suit, Count of Mara tie, hand-tailored shirt, English shoes, hand-trimmed Van Dyke.
Get me a blank check and send him in.
Okay, Sam. Please come in. Mr. Spade will see you now, sir.
Thank you. You are Mr. Spade. Sam Spade.
What can I do for you?
I'm Dr. Gregory Denov, a psychoanalyst. I need your help.
Lie down, doctor, and tell me all about it.
I see you might also be noted for your sense of humor as well as your discretion.
Who told you I was discreet?
A man named Nicolaitis.
Well, you tell Nicolaitis, I think he's cute, too. What else does he say about me?
That I can trust you with $10,000.
Oh. Is this Mr. Nicolaitis one of your patients?
No, he isn't. As a matter of fact, he's gotten possession of some private records of mine. Well, it's rather involved.
Nicolaitis is shaking you down, and he picked me as the middleman, is that it?
This is not an ordinary case of blackmail.
Blackmail is blackmail, even if you do it in Technicolor.
Well, As you may know, a psychoanalyst keeps a faithful transcript, a detailed record of everything a patient says during consultation, no matter how intimate or shocking.
Yeah.
This man, Nicolaitis, has managed to gain possession of a copy of one of these case histories. The patient is a very celebrated person, and should this material be divulged, it may have very serious consequences for both my patient and for me.
Doctor, your best bet's the San Francisco Police Department.
No, that's out of the question.
Then I'm afraid I can't help you.
Why not, Nicolaitis?
I'm a private detective. When I take on a client, I take on his troubles. My job is to protect him, not to stand by and see him milked. If you want to hire me on that basis, I'll listen.
Oh, I'm so tired. I must trust somebody. What can you do for me, Mr. Spade?
Write me out a check for $1,000. Got a pen? Yeah.
All right.
You see, Nicolaitis figures that if I'm getting a cut, I'll have to keep my mouth shut. I'll spend it all the same.
Here you are.
Thanks. Now, what was the last thing Nicolaitis told you?
That he would pick up the $10,000 here and deliver to you this file in question.
Can you reach him?
Yes.
Call him. Tell him you've seen me. Tell him I won't do that kind of business in my office. Tell him to come to your house. I'll be there.
What if he refuses?
He won't. Tell him I have the whole $10,000.
What time?
How about in an hour?
No, I'm sorry. We'll have to make it around 3 or... Oh, goodness, I'm late now. I really...
That's a beautiful watch, Mr. Denner.
Yes.
Foreign?
Yes.
May I see it?
My watch? Why, really, Mr. Spade, I'm very late. I have so many things to do, and I have to be at the Majestic Theater well before the matinee starts at 2:30.
How are you going to see me at 3 o'clock if you're going to the theater?
Oh, I'm not going to stay for the performance. Well, Mr. Spade, till 3 o'clock then. Oh, my office is in my apartment. The address is here on my card. It's the penthouse.
Penthouse, huh? Okay, doctor, I'll come formal. I'll wear the top to my bathing suit. I left my office around 2:30 and started walking up Knob Hill. The Versailles Apartments, where Denov's place was, took up the whole 300 block, so I didn't have any trouble finding it. I stopped across the street for a minute to get my breath after the uphill climb, mopped my face, and started across. Just as I got to the middle of the street... The crowd was packed in so close around, I couldn't see who'd done the Brody, but I had a pretty good idea. The cops had the sidewalk roped off and guards posted at the building entrance. It took me maybe 20 minutes to elbow my way through and show my credentials. Sergeant Levine had the front door, so they let me in. Lieutenant Dundee of Homicide met me at the door of the penthouse.
Hiya, Sam. What do you want?
I want to see Dr. Denov.
The doctor's dead.
Dead?
Yeah.
He's my client. They can't do this to me. How?
Hit a Brody out the window. What are you here for?
To see his wife. Okay with you?
Why not? She's inside.
Thanks.
Mr. Stanoff, please. With all due respect for your grief, I must have the keys to the cabinet where Gregory kept his confidential files. You realize that he wished me to take charge of his patients and that I am responsible. All this police and so on. Oh, we must get those files out of here as soon as possible. Yes?
My name is Spade.
I am Dr. Zoya. I was poor Dr. Denoff's oldest friend. If there's anything
I'd like to see you, Mrs. Denoff, alone.
But you police have already asked her so many questions. You see, she's not in the...
I'm not with the police. I'm a private detective. I was working for Dr. Denoff.
A private detective?
And he was in trouble, you see. You see, Dr. Sawyer, the police won't believe me. Mm. Mr. Spade, you'll tell them. You'll tell him he didn't commit suicide.
Well, Mrs. Denoff, I guess that takes care of everything here. It's clearly suicide.
Oh, idiot. Blind, stupid idiot. Suicide. My husband. No. He treated suicides. He would never...
No, please. It will be all right, my dear. I'm sorry. She's hysterical. Yeah. If I had the time,
Mrs.
Faye, I would...
Tell them. Tell them.
Please, Mrs. Denoff. The undertaker has been arranged for a burial at 7 o'clock, Bay Israel Cemetery. Now, please, the key to Gregory's file.
Here, take it and go. Go ahead, all of you.
Okay, we'll call you now. Oh, I'm so sorry, gentlemen. This hysteria, a simple traumatic condition. If I only had the time...
Who can I turn to? Who'll help me? You think it's pleasant? You think my husband would rest if they said I committed suicide? What shall I do? What shall I do? What shall I do? Oh, Oh, you...
Dr. Zoya didn't have the time, neither have I. Do you think it's murder? Who do you think kills your husband?
To name someone. That's a very serious charge, Mr. Speed.
Goodbye, Mrs. Denhoff.
Constance Brent.
You mean Constance Brent, the actress?
Yes. Yes, she was his last patient this morning. She had threatened to kill him before.
How do you know?
My husband said so.
To you?
Well, he'd written it down on his notes on her case. Once before, she'd almost pushed him from that same window.
How about your husband and Miss Brent?
Oh, I knew she was falling in love with my husband. That always happens. They call it a transference. But in this case...
Your husband told me Miss Brent was acting in a play this afternoon over at the Majestic.
Yes, Midsummer Night's Dream. But she was here. I know she was here. Miss Ray, the receptionist, was coming back from lunch when she heard voices arguing inside. And she was sure it was Miss Brent's voice.
Show me the doctor's case history on Miss Brent.
I can't. It's missing. As soon as it happened, I went to the files. I meant to show it to the police.
Who could have taken it?
Constance Brent was the last one in that room before he died.
Yeah. When did you see Nicolaitis last?
Nick who?
Skip it.
Where can I reach you in case...
For the next couple of hours, I'll be at the Majestic Theater. I want to see how good an actress this Constance Brent is. Yes? Miss Constance Brent's dressing room?
What do you want?
I want to talk to Miss Brent.
Well, you can talk to me. I'm her husband.
So you're Mr. Brent?
I'm Jonathan Wallace. She's Mrs. Wallace. Now, what do you want with my wife?
I've come to tell her that Dr. Denhoff is dead.
Are you sure?
You try falling from a 12th floor window sometime.
Well, that's the best news I've heard this year. I'm afraid it would be a shock for Constance.
Maybe, maybe not. She was the last person to see him alive, as far as anybody can make out.
Are you from the police?
No, I'm from the insurance company. Claims investigator.
What do you want to see Constance for? The policy wasn't made out to her, was it?
No, made out to his widow. But she can't collect. Police say it was suicide.
Oh, that settles it. This is the last time I take a plan. Stand around while Puck talks his head off. Who is this person?
Darling, I'm afraid this is going to be a shock. This man is from an insurance company. Dr. Denhoff is dead.
Oh, what a pity. What happened?
The police say he jumped. His wife says he was pushed. She also says that you, Miss Brent, might have been the pusher.
Oh, now really, it's too absurd. How like a wife.
What time did your play start this afternoon, Miss Brent?
Matinee at 2:30, always. Always.
And the late lamented Dr. Denhoff jumped at 3 o'clock.
I didn't say he did. Doesn't this news, shock you?
But of course. Do you think good psychoanalysts are easy to find?
Looks like your next doctor will have to start from scratch. Your case history seems to be missing from Dr. Denhoff's files.
Missing?
No. What is it?
Has a man named Nicolaitis been in touch with you?
I've never heard of him.
Chances are you will.
Does he have Dr. Denhoff's notes on my case?
Could be.
This is frightful.
Hot reading, huh?
You seem to know this person, Nicolaitis. Get that file for me and I'll pay you well for it.
Just a minute, my lovely Titania. We don't know who this man really is. He might even be Nicolaitis himself. Let me see your company credentials.
Now, what do you know? Somebody picked my pocket. My wallet's gone.
I thought so. All right, you tell me who you are. I'll call the police.
Oh, no, no, Jonathan, no police.
Let's get off the merry-go-round. My name is Spade. You'll find me in the phone book under S. My office is open until 6 o'clock. And if a man answers, don't hang up. It'll be me. Hello, Effie. Have you found a Nicolaitis yet?
Not one. I even tried spelling it backwards.
Nobody ever heard of a man named Nicolaitis. Beginning to think there ain't no such person.
Pardon me. Do I hear my name mentioned? I'm Nicolaitis.
Sam, I still think you're right.
Come all the way in, Mr. Nicolaitis. Sit down.
Thank you.
If you need me, Sam, just scream.
What can I do for you?
Oh, I've come for my money.
What money?
Oh, the $10,000. You remember the $10,000?
Refresh my memory.
Oh, Dr. Denhoff, the gentleman who visited you this morning?
Oh, that $10,000.
Well, you see, you remember now.
Yeah, it all comes back to me now. You were supposed to deliver something for the money.
A thing stuck to Denoff is dead that is no longer important. You will give me the money, please, and I will not disturb your afternoon any further.
Suppose I refuse?
Oh, that would grieve me. In my grief, there is no telling what I might do.
Dr. Denoff's dead. There's nothing more you can do to hurt him.
Oh, never would I attempt to hurt poor Dr. Denoff, but in my sorrow, it would be so great if I should be forced to hurt the woman he loved. After all, as Titania says, these are the forgeries of jealousy.
Titania, huh? Ah, yes, Midsummer Night's Dream, Act 1, Scene 18. I'm a little rusty on my Shakespeare.
Oh, you are indeed, Mr. Spade. Titania doesn't appear until well into Act 2.
She doesn't, huh? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I guess she isn't on for 40 minutes or so.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Spade, but I didn't come here to discuss drama.
What else have you got to discuss? When Dr. Denoff died, your market died with him.
That is a very unprogressive view, Mr. Spade. There's always a gentleman named Jonathan Wallace.
Why, you fiend. You don't mean you sell to both of us.
Mr. Spade, how can you have such a low opinion of me? I will prove my integrity. I will give you the material. You give me the money.
Hand it over.
In the Levant, Mr. Spade, we have a saying. He who goes too close to the bear soon loses his beard. I have left my beard at home.
Okay, I'll meet you anywhere you say, anytime you say.
Excellent. At 7 in your apartment, huh?
Won't that be walking into the bear's cave?
In the Levant, Mr. Spade, we have a saying. Private dicks do not kill people in their own apartment.
It was then 6 p.m. I called Effie for messages. She told me that you had been phoning frantically, Mrs. Denoff. I still had maybe 30 minutes before Nikolaitis was due at my apartment, so I breezed on up to your place on the hill. We had a very interesting chat, remember, Mrs. Denoff? Looking back on it, that was probably the most interesting conversation we had. Funny, I can't remember much of anything you said, but it was so cozy there in your place. And what with your clock being about 20 minutes slow, it must have been something like 7:30 before I left you. I grabbed a cab and told the hacky to step on it. I hoped Nikolaitis was still waiting at my apartment. He was. Mr. Nikolaitis, I'm sorry to be late. He was lying on my bathroom floor. The little guy was looking just about as natty as when he'd been in my office, except that the beautiful silk scarf he'd been wearing was twisted into a tight noose around his neck. Mr. Nikolaitis was a very dead blackmailer.
The makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the fourth in a new series of programs bringing to the air for the first time the adventures of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade. Men, at the racetrack, the man who has something better than a mere hunch is said to have it straight from the horse. Of course, that's a humorous expression. But it shows how to get facts, go straight to the real source of information. And that's why we went straight to hundreds of men in metropolitan New York to find out what men really want in a hair tonic. And their answers show that Wild Root Cream Oil has all five advantages chosen by this impartial consumer jury of men. One, Wild Root Cream Oil grooms your hair neatly and naturally, never leaves it sticky or greasy. Two, Wild Root Cream Oil relieves annoying dryness. Three, it removes loose dandruff. Four, it's non-alcoholic. And five, it contains soothing lanolin. Remember, no other leading hair tonic gives you all five of these important advantages. Is it any wonder that 4 out of 5 users in a nationwide test preferred Wild Root Cream Oil to all other hair tonics they'd tried? So next time you visit your barber, ask for Wild Root Cream Oil and get the big economy-sized bottle of Wild Root Cream Oil at your drug or toilet goods counter. back to Sam and Psyche. Tonight's adventure with Sam Spade. His eyes were open and he seemed to be looking right at me as I bent over him. The finger marks in his throat were too blotchy to be of any use. Pretty soon, Lieutenant Dundee and Sergeant Polehouse came in and walked over behind me. We all stood there for a second, and then Polehouse bent down and closed those eyes.
You know him, Sam?
His name is Nikolaitis. That's all I know about him.
What did he come here to your place for?
I don't know.
You invited him?
I wouldn't have been surprised to find him here, but not like this. You boys got a smear on him yet?
Sure. He's an old customer of mine. Runs a photo lab. Photostats, microfilm.
Microfilm. Nobody makes any sense. They're all screwballs, psychos, neurotics. What am I doing in the middle of this anyway?
Sam, don't scream at us. We're just doing a job.
Oh, I'm sorry, boys. It's Dr. Denno was my client.
Mental
and I was...
expert. That Denno probably had a screw loose somewhere and needed a psychoanalyst himself. Say, maybe he was...
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, look, Dundee.
Hmm?
I'm going out of here now. Do I call Sid Weiss and we go through all that again, or are you going to let me walk?
Why, Sam, you can go. I know where you sleep. I'll wake you when I'm ready for you. Well, Mr. Spade?
I want some answers, Dr. Sawyer, and you're the guy who can give them to me.
I'm listening. Just let the questions flow into your mind and do not try to repress any of them. Speak instantly, whatever...
Okay, question number one, without thinking. Do you think Dr. Denoff was a suicide?
Well, I had not seen Dr. Denoff for many years. He had been my student in Vienna. I was his analyst, in fact.
That's all very interesting, Doctor, but my question...
Yes, yes, sir. Did poor Dr. Denoff commit suicide? I have reviewed all the material, manifest and hypothetical, and I came to the conclusion, no, it was quite impossible. You see, these paranoid...
Okay,
and dramatic...
question number two. Was Dr. Denoff in love with Constance Brent?
I suppose I can now answer that question. When I arrived in San Francisco, I found him in great distress. He told me he feared he was losing his objectivity towards this patient.
In other words, he was in love with her.
Yes.
You think she might have murdered him?
All psychoanalytical subjects develop aggressive feelings toward the doctor. Nearly all of my patients have threatened me at one time or another.
You don't say. Tell me, Dr. Zoya, you know anything about Jonathan Wallace, Miss Brent's husband?
A violent type, almost psychotic.
Yeah? How about you, Dr. Zoya? Because you have done it?
That is a most interesting question, Mr. Spade. When I arrived here from Vienna without funds, dependent on the kindness of my former students, I must confess that I felt a certain antagonism. It disturbed me to realize that a man of my standing in the profession should have be dependent on the goodwill of a younger and, I sincerely believe, less gifted man. However, I overcame this, and I didn't kill him.
Yeah. Well, Doctor, thanks a lot.
Oh, Peep. Truly a life study. There is no accounting. For instance, Dr. Denoff. He came to me only this afternoon with the strangest request.
Yeah?
He gave me the gold watch. The gold watch which I had presented to him many years ago upon his graduation in Vienna. He had a patient waiting and so had not much time to explain.
Where is this watch?
Please, I'm coming to that. He asked me to promise that I would have the watch buried with him if something should happen. That has been done.
But Dr. Denoff just died at 3:00.
It is a Mosaic law that the deceased be buried before sundown.
Thanks, Doctor. Thanks a lot.
I hope I've been of some help.
Doctor, you'll never know how much you've helped me.
Spade.
Oh, what's happened?
I think I got the answers, Mrs. Denov. That file on Constance Brent. Your husband knew that you'd been going through it.
Mr. Spade.
Shut up and listen to me. He took it out of the files, had it microfilmed for his own private records, and destroyed the original.
Really?
The man who did the microfilming was Nicolaitis. He delivered one print to your husband and kept another for himself. He was murdered in my apartment for the copy he used to shake down your husband. The killer now has that copy, if it hasn't already been destroyed. But we can still put our hands on the first strip of microfilm which you delivered to your husband.
This is astonishing. How?
It's in the gold watch which was buried with him.
Oh, the watch that Dr. Zoya...
That's right. Denov made up his mind that whatever he knew about Constance Brent was going to go to the grave with him. What are you doing tonight?
Nothing.
And we got a date, sweetheart, you and I. I'll be back toward the wee hours. All paths lead to the grave. Ophelia, Act 6.
Gregory's grave? But shouldn't we get a court order and have it done properly?
The courts don't open until 10 in the morning, sweetheart. And Lieutenant Dundee's going to start asking me some questions about that stuff in my apartment before then. You see, baby, I can't wait.
Spade, we shouldn't be doing this.
I'm wrong this time. It won't be wasted effort. I'll crawl under the grave myself and pull it in after. Here. I struck it. Give me that crowbar, Mrs. Denov, quick.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Put that flashlight in here, sweetheart. You look the other way. Yeah. Yeah, here it is. Look.
What, Mr. Spade? What have you got?
The watch. Here, put the flash on it while I open it.
Here's my nail file. Pry off the back.
Thanks. That does it. Here's the film.
All right, Mr. Spade. Give me that film.
Well, if it isn't the second gravedigger from Hamlet, Mr. Constance Brent.
Stop clowning and hand it up to me.
You better do as he says, Mr. Spade. We've both got guns.
I was expecting that. Took you a long time to get here, Mr. Wallace. How did dear Constance make out as Lady Macbeth?
Just give me that film.
Stop being an idiot, Wallace. The cemetery is crawling with cops. Put that gun away before you drop it and break your foot.
Come up out of that grave, Spade, or you'll stay there forever.
Okay, Dundee.
All right. Get those hands up, everybody.
Go ahead, Dundee. Make the pinch.
Okay. Sam Spade, I arrest you for body snatching, violation of graves under the civil code number...
No, you fool. You're supposed to arrest Mrs. Gregory Denov and Jonathan Wallace for the murder of Gregory Denov and Pericles Nicolaitis.
But I... Oh, yeah.
No, you don't. It
was smart of you, Mrs. Denov, to make me late for my appointment with Nicolaitis. You did that so that Wallace could nail him in my apartment for the microfilm. You thought you could use that film to pin Denov's murder on Constance Brent. But after your late husband caught you tampering with his files, he added a few well-chosen words to it so that the film put the finger on you and your boyfriend, Mr. Wallace, in case anything happened to the doctor. So Wallace had to kill Nicolaitis. You weren't smart to push your husband out the window. That looked like suicide. You might have gotten away with it, Mrs. Denov, if you'd bashed your husband's head in with a bottle. That reminds me, Effie, pour me a drink.
That all?
Sign it, put a special delivery on it, and send it care of the matron to Hatchepi Prison. Go on, have one yourself.
Oh, thank you. Here's how.
Oh. You'll get used to it.
Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
Wild Root Cream Oil presents The Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, produced and directed by William Spear. Then, on these warm August days, the sun beats down on your hair, may leave it looking dry and brittle. That's why, now especially, you need Wild Root Cream Oil. This grand non-alcoholic hair tonic has just what it takes for summer grooming. It contains lanolin, the soothing oil that's so much like the oil of your skin. Wild Root Cream Oil keeps your hair neatly in place, gives it the handsome, successful look that helps you get ahead on the job. And Wild Root Cream Oil removes loose, ugly dandruff and actually relieves annoying dryness. So tonight, take the famous FN test. Check your scalp. Signs of dryness or loose dandruff tell you need Wild Root Cream Oil right away. Sam Spade is played by Howard Duff. Fred Esler was Dr. Zoya. Lorene Tuttle is Effie. Don't forget, next Friday, the three masters of the art of hair-raising, Dashiell Hammett, William Spear, and Wild Root Cream Oil, join forces to bring you another hair-raising adventure with Sam Spade. Smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil, too, for quick, good grooming and to relieve dryness between permanents. Mothers say it's grand for training children's hair. Dick Joy speaking. This is ABC, the American...
That's going to do it for this episode of Case Closed. If you want to find more old-time radio, more detective stories, or any other type, just visit relicradio.com. You'll find all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Thanks to everyone who has been helping us keep it all going. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for relicradio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.